Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, live from Chicago. It's just a beautiful fall day. Leaves of so many different colors. Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All topics, sports medicine, fitness, wellness, all included when we're talking to Sports Doctor. The hoopla with the book continues, hashtag a sports parent, with my great co-author, Hall of Fame volleyball player, Sharkey Zartman. Last week, you check out the show, we had youth sports was really, really the focus with Wade Lloyd of Coach Tube and John Ang of the National Alliance of Youth Sports. Hey, congratulations, the Boston Red Sox. Exciting World Series. You know, we talk a lot on the Sports Doc about the mental game. We've got a great doubleheader today coming from that side of the equation across the pond from United Kingdom. William Pullen is a psychotherapist for adults and children. He's the author of this innovative dynamic running therapy. He'll be joining me. And then Lisa Garr, Lisa, athlete. She's a brain injury survivor. She's the author of Becoming Aware, and she hosts the super popular radio show, The Aware Show. And then, of course, it's me, Sports Doctors In, where we talk about upcoming guests and some emails. But first, let's welcome from across the pond, William Pullen, psychotherapist, dynamic running therapy. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Nice to be here.
Yes, I thought we would match a English and a New York accent and have a dynamite first 20 minutes. Tell us a little bit of background about yourself and what you're doing.
Okay, I'm a 51-year-old psychotherapist, app developer, TEDx talker, and author. Basically, I'm a sort of standard psychotherapist, and then I developed something called dynamic running therapy, which is a fusion of running and regular talk therapy. And from that, I wrote a book that sort of explains how the whole thing works, and did a talk about it, and it's sort of my life's work now is trying to get people moving.
Yes, I've been talking about childhood obesity for 25 years here in the United States, keeping people moving, proper eating, smart, proper nutrition. Again, the whole mental game, I know you deal with with adults and children, right?
Oh, yeah, mostly adults.
Okay. And many adults are parents of young athletes, you know. And again, the mental side of things, whether it is high performance and trying to be at the top of your game, or whether it is dealing with problems and therapy, what's the difference between a psychotherapist, psychologist, a psychiatrist, William?
Okay, so psychiatrist is a doctor, has a full medical degree, and tends to treat your problems, or can treat your problems, with medication. A psychotherapist, which is what I am, we're known as the listening art. We do mostly listening. And then in the middle somewhere are psychologists who, while they don't prescribe drugs, they do understand your problems in terms of disorders, and they like to use labels. We like to use labels less, psychotherapists.
I that's very exciting. I think we talk so much on the Sports Doctor, William, about the holistic blending of Eastern and Western types of therapies and cultures. what I like to call complementary medicine. And again, the mental game, the mental side of things is huge. Whether we had a guest on a month or so ago, Melissa Walden, the daughter's a top figure skater, and her specialty in psychotherapy is eating disorders. And right. The kinds of pressures that are on some of these kids or this whole weight-related challenge. And, you know, the old runner's high, I remember having treated runners, been a runner myself for a long time, and the mental side, the runner's high, I would think it's got to be fitting somewhere into dynamic running therapy.
Well, you know, it does, but more in the birth of dynamic running therapy. You know, I came to it at a very difficult point in my life when I was severely depressed and scared and home alone. And I knew I had to make a change, and I took up psychotherapy. And I also took up running with a friend. I wasn't a runner. I was a heavy smoker, amongst other things. But I noticed how fantastic the running was. You know, I started off sort of 50 meters a day and built up slowly. And a lot of it was about the camaraderie of being with a friend, like getting out, beginning to feel just a bit more human again.
Yes. Exercise, I think, you know, running is one of the forms of exercise. It's a great one. Again, whether somebody's walking, whether they go to the gym, whether they do yoga, the idea is to do something that you enjoy doing that will keep you. One of the greatest medicines we have today is exercise. So tell us a little bit about dynamic running therapy and what it is.
Well, can I just jump in there quickly? 'Cause,
you could jump in wherever you'd like.
As I mentioned, I did a TEDx, and after me came a cardiologist from Texas, a fascinating man who had done research on longevity. I believe he's fairly well known in America, but I can't remember his name right now. Anyway, interestingly enough, because you're talking about mental health and exercise and what a medicine it is. So he had discovered that various sports produce different kinds of longevity. So here's a question for you. I'm going to try and challenge you here live.
Here we go.
On the radio. It's live and it's happening. So on one end, you have a rough gain of about 1 year in terms of longevity. And the other end, you have about a plus of 8 or 9 years. I want you to see if you can guess what sport is at the one and what sport's at the nine. And I'll give you a clue. Go on. Well, the clue is that it has to do with what we're just talking about here, this mental health piece that's connected
to the
exercise.
It's hard to beat walking as from A to Z as being one of the safest, one of the most effective in everything you're talking about. At the same time, I would probably consider contact-type sports, if you're talking sports, to be the least. The aerobic ones, you're moving, cycling, you're swimming, would be my choices. Walking, cycling, swimming, jogging. How's that for choice, William?
Dr. Bob, we're going to have to redo the show because I think you struck out. How many times can you strike out? Three. I think you just struck out on all four.
This is, again, everybody listening to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years. You could see who the guests were, the endless array of topics internationally, or you could zip over to newspaper articles and you could read some of my articles. The recent one for the Lower Extremity Review, all about the idea of youth sports safety, or one of my most popular articles, which is women in high heels accepting the challenge. Lots of stuff. Again, we have a huge Twitter following. I can't tell you how many guests I get on Twitter. I think William Pullen was one of them, or maybe it was LinkedIn. But at Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we have over 30,000 followers. We have great information. And again, the reason I named our book #A Sports Parent is because it's got a great Twitter following. So check that stuff out. We're talking again over in the United Kingdom with William Pullen, the psychotherapist. He is a TEDx talker. What was your topic, Bill, for your TEDx talk? Was it running therapy?
It was, and something I call empathy runs, which is or it can be empathy walks. It's a exercise where you walk or run with another person. One person does the talking for 10 minutes, one person does the listening, and then you swap roles. And there's no interrupting, there's no interpretation, there's no saving, there's no comforting. You're just sharing a moment with somebody. It's amazing how powerful it is to move, to share.
I agree with you. You said it at the beginning of the show. At the beginning of the show, you talked about listening and how the psychotherapist really, really, really is the listener. I can't stress how much I agree with you on that side of things, especially as I keep on interrupting you. What's the website where people could find out about you and your book and your TED Talk?
So my TEDx talk is on YouTube. It's called Movement is Medicine. And my book is called Running with Mindfulness, and you can find that on all good bookstores, of course, and, of course, Amazon. And my website is dynamicrunningtherapy.com.
All right. Well, here, William, you know, I wasn't ducking it. As you said, I was 0-for-4. So I'm interested in hearing the answers to repeat the question again, which is, what is the, most effective? Go ahead.
Yes. Which sports produce the greatest longevity? Not fitness, longevity.
Improved
longevity.
Okay.
One improves your longevity by about a year, and at the other end of the scale is one that does it about 9 years.
Okay.
I want you to
And the answer is?
Well, at one, it's probably, running and gym. And probably walking. Why? Because they're mostly solitary. They don't have to be, but they tend to be. And
so
we would discuss mental health.
Is that the one that the longevity is many years, or is that the one that's only a year? Which
it's only
number
a
one
year.
Is
it's only a year because you only get 1 year because it's solitary. And the mental health piece that we were discussing, the fact is that happy people live longer. And so at the other end, the one that gives you 9 extra years is doubles tennis, full of what we call banter. You know, often, particularly when it's mixed doubles, there's a lot of sort of chat going on. You get a total body workout.
Yes. Tennis has always been, especially on the single level, we have a contest every year. We talk about which sports require the best athletes. And, of course, in doubles, it's a different story. But that's a very interesting, as I think about what you're saying, double tennis, the banter, that's a great word. It could be extremely physical. It could be competitive. It's got to be camaraderie. Interesting.
Yes, I mean, that banter keeps your social skills going, keeps your brain going, keeps you engaged in complex relationships during tennis, which also are competitive and slightly comical. I mean, it's ideal. And if it's mixed, there might even be a slight little bit of sexual tension in there as well. I mean, everything that you'd want in your 80s.
Okay. Right. Absolutely. You know, and the point again of parents of active kids, that whole world, with the parents of athletic kids, and the parents of competitive athletic kids, and all the physical as well as mental pressures that go along with it. And there's not a team around that doesn't have now sports psychology, mental training, mindfulness, tremendous new attention and emphasis on all the different things that are done. And you have an even another interesting perspective. Has that been your experience, that there's been so much more attention to, again, whether you're the person themselves or their son or daughter, to all of this mental side of it?
Oh, for sure. for sure. I mean, you know, but I work as a psychotherapist, and so I don't know so much on the sports side of things. But what I do know is how the body, when you use the body to get better, as you're talking about, as you use the body for mental health reasons, it's amazing how it helps you focus, how it gets you motivated, how it helps you. In my book, I talk about how it actually helps bring up feelings. In fact, today I was talking to a woman who's doing a research paper on it, and she was saying, oh, there's this one woman I've been talking to who's actually had to stop running because it's too intense for her psychotherapy that she's undergoing. It brings up too many feelings for her. And it really does. It brings up feelings. Yeah. In my book, I ask people to
run
with
certain
ideas.
Well, here's my pearl for you, William.
Yeah.
For your next book, the pearl from the sports doctor with all of your dynamic running therapy, if you want to make sure all these people are in the right shoe for their foot type, is this a commercial for the sports doctor? It might be. you know, running's got its share of problems, you know, physically. So, but,
sure.
But to find, because we're going to run out of time. So dynamic running therapy, what are you adding to the running? Are they talking mantras? Are they thinking things? How do you give us a couple of bullets of what dynamic running therapy is?
Okay, so in the book, it's got specific programs for depression, anger, anxiety. When you follow that program, I'll ask you a bunch of questions. We're going to examine your answers. You're going to write them in the book, and you're going to go on a journey. So it's using the body to explore and get to know who you are, what you are, and how you relate to yourself and the world.
And again, you know, we had a professional athlete, Jarnell Stokes, who's on the show maybe a month ago. He's with the Miami Heat. This is a whole incredible new world in athletics and sports where they're, again, including whether it's being able to relax, whether it's being able to recover, whether it's being at the top of your game. It all involved, the mental side of things, let alone people's problems and that whole side of hassles in the psychotherapy. So the psychotherapist is not a medical doctor, and falls in between in a good way. What's the medical, in the last couple of minutes, how's the medical profession in UK include psychotherapy? I would think it's a big part of overall wellness.
Well, as you know, we've got universal health care here. And so it's really is a fantastic thing. And if you go to your free general doctor here and say, I'm not feeling mentally sound, you get free mental health therapy. Typically, it's 6 sessions of cognitive behavioral therapy. And if that doesn't crack it, and it probably won't, then if you're lucky and you've got enough problems, they'll throw some more stuff at you. It's not perfect, actually. For mental health,
no,
it's one of its weak
spots. And the United States
spots.
Also, you know, one of my pet peeves, the United States allows TV advertising of drugs ad nauseum. I've had folks and guests on from your country. They look at us like we're crazy, but the ease and comfort of knowing that regardless what happens challenging your health, that you are universally covered. I just wish we would get there in the United States. I know that there's hassles and you don't have 300 million people, but again, that knowing that you just don't have to worry about it is a tremendous weapon, and I would see. What percentage of how young do you see kids?
17. So not children, adolescents.
Yes, and it's interesting how seniors today, you know, before we run out of time, you know, seniors are trying to stay active, and in between your contest to what has the longest longevity and solid longevity is the idea, you know, are you feeling good and healthy as you are aging? This is, you know, one of the major keys. And again, you hit it on the head when you talk about keeping moving and staying active in order being such a big part, you know. So give us the website again, William, in order for people to find out about the book and the TED Talk and your YouTube stuff. What's the best website?
The best website is dynamicrunningtherapy.com. The TEDx talk is Movement is Medicine, William Pullen, on YouTube. And then the book is called Running with Mindfulness. You can find it on Amazon.
Great. I want you to hold on, William. Again, William Pullen, okay. Psychotherapist. Thanks so much for joining us. Tremendous segment. And we're going to be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we are back on a beautiful day, sunny Chicago. Unfortunately, I think we've got a glitch with getting Lisa Garr on the station. So I think we'll let her cut in whenever she can. Otherwise, I think we'll talk a little bit about some of the topics in the book that I was going to discuss on the Sports Doctors In segment, some of the ones that really have gotten such great feedback and interest. And one of the topics is youth sports and drugs. And this is something that is of real concern, especially in the competitive youth sports, where we have too many young athletes playing hurt, and we have problems involving, well, let's take some over-the-counter pain medicine, whether it's the ibuprofens or the naproxens or Aleves, even the Tylenols, in order to get that youngster through the game without their arm hurting or the foot or ankle hurting or whatever the problem is. And this is a serious problem, as many of these young kids, and I'm talking anywhere from 10, 11 to 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, the gamut, from junior high school to high school, of young athletes who might be unable to play if they're not taking the two Advil or two ibuprofen before they play, or once or twice a day in order to keep up with practice. And I tell parents all the time that if your young athlete has to take over-the-counter, let alone prescription, but over-the-counter even pain medicine to stay in the game, you're over the line. If supervised by the doctor who might be supervising, or the sports therapist, but ideally the doctor who's supervising your son or daughter taking the ibuprofen for the week or the 10 days and then talking about whatever the continuation is going to be, if any, that we compromise all the time with some young athletes. But so many are on their own. And I remember one time I was speaking to a about 50 high-performance volleyball players. And one of the questions I asked was, how many of you routinely take over-the-counter, and I mentioned ibuprofen, Advil, and I mentioned Aleve, and over half of them raised their hands. I said, how many of you think it's medicine? And only about a third of the ones who raised their hand. Point is, it's so routine, it's so assumed that it's harmless, that it's a big problem. And this is one of the reasons when we look at the highest level of sports, the Olympics, the big-time college, professional athletes, and we wonder why we're in this nightmare between pain medicines, prescription pain medicines. You know, the opioid pain medicine crisis is epidemic. We're losing 70,000 people a year as a result in some way, shape, or form of the heroin that comes after it or the addiction itself and the nightmare of pain pills, prescription, opioid, pain pills. So when we allow the habit to start, and interestingly enough, we're just talking to William Pullen, psychotherapist from England, talking about that they don't have TV advertising of prescription medicines. They think we're nuts. So we are used to, and it's normalized for young athletes to grow up assuming that they're surrounded with advertisements for medicines, and therefore it's a pill for everything. And when we get to the highest level of sports, and we even talk about performance-enhancing drugs, I've even relabeled them as performance-surviving drugs. Think about it, where you have at the highest level, gotta play, doc. Don't you understand? I'll lose my position on the team. Well, we've got championships coming up. And this is even at younger and younger levels. Absolutely, you have teenagers who are in this type of dilemma. So we want to think about what I said, moms and dads. Read the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, and the be aware of the tremendous amount of kids who are living on medicines. Back off, mom and dad, the schedule. Find out from the physical therapist or the doctor what the problem is regarding why they're taking anti-inflammatory pain medicines. And usually it's overkill. Usually it's overuse injuries. This is the reason I wrote the book, was the epidemic of overuse youth sports injuries, doing too much, being too aggressive. You know, Tommy John surgery, the famous Tommy John surgery named after the great pitcher, in today's climate, maybe 10-20% of Tommy John surgeries are done on teenagers. This is nuts because of too much throwing, too much overuse, the foot-ankle problems we see because of the amount of running and jumping. 12-year-olds may be doing a dozen, two dozen, three dozen, five dozen triple jumps a week in figure skating. So pay attention and remember what I said. If your son or daughter needs pain medicine to stay in the game, you're over the line. And you got to back off and you got to pay attention. My apologies again to everybody who's expecting Lisa Gar. Apologies to me. So disappointed. I've had her on before. The author of Becoming Aware and the host of her. You know, sometimes you run into time zone stuff or phone number stuff. So we will get her back for sure. Back to one of the other topics I wanted to talk about, which is related to youth sports and drugs. which are the prodigy sports. The prodigy sports are gymnastics, ballet, figure skating, tennis and soccer, to name not all of them, where you have youngsters specializing very, very early. As sports medicine people, everybody says, your son or daughter, you love them to play multiple sports, use the body differently, don't use the same muscles the same way, but a young figure skater or a young ballerina or a young gymnastics individual will say, you didn't hear me. This is all I want to do. I don't want to play other sports. So the prodigy sports require some special attention. We run into something called repetitive motion injuries, which is what I just talked about, using the body the same way. So we tell parents who are parenting kids who are specializing, number one, if you could talk them out of it, try to add other sports. Make sure if your son or daughter specializing that you are adding in recovery time, that you are not 24/7, 365 days a year doing the same sport, 3 hours, 4 hours a day in the gym. I don't care who's telling you that. It doesn't make any kind of sense. You want to get under the tutelage of a good physical therapist who could show your son or daughter optimum strengthening exercises to tolerate and do well at whatever their sport happens to be. Most serious youth sports organizations absolutely pay big attention to this, but they're not physical therapists. So this is something that I really stress as important. And also, again, pay attention to what we just talked about, which is to be a good listener. The mental side is huge in high-performance youth sports or in high-volume youth sports. The years ago, Little League, maybe it was 10, 20 years ago, sat down and said, holy cow, 40%, 30, 40% of these kids are dropping out. What's going on? And it was maybe too crazy. Overzealous parents. I remember the late, great Jim Vickery. Jim was a sports psychologist, although back in the 90s, he didn't use the word psychology. Scared athletes. And he would have some real bullets for parents. Don't be a critic. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. Be a good listener. Understand some cooperation and interaction with your child's coach is important. So again, we're going to be coming up to the Sports Doctors In segment, where it'll be answering some emails, talking about upcoming shows. Again, Lisa, we don't know what happened. We'll get her back. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from a beautiful fall day. Happy Halloween from Chicago, and welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment, the segment where I answer emails and I preview the next two upcoming shows. I'm excited next week. Sports medicine orthopedic surgeon from Duke University, Dr. Karen Sutton, will be joining us. I think this will probably be right after she runs the New York Marathon. Good luck, Dr. Karen. Then I got a local guy, chiropractic physician, Dr. Brian Robinson, will be joining me. The following week, exercise coach, the creator of Exercise Coach, a local sports fitness group, Luke Davidson, will be joining me. And then a high-performance gal, author, radio host, Judy Gatlin. Live long, live well is her topic. So that should be a couple of great shows coming up. Again, my apologies to all of those who expected Lisa Gar. I don't know what happened, but we will get her back on that second segment. Let's do some email. Terry says, I'm 45 years old. I'm an active golfer out here in Arizona. I play four or five times a week. I've been diagnosed with metatarsalgia, and I'm seeing a physical therapist. Could you talk a little bit of metatarsalgia, the generalized term for inflammation, soreness under the ball of the foot? Usually not the big toe, but it can include the big toe, the ball of the foot. It could be nerve-related. It could be stress fracture-related. It could be tendonitis-related. So you need to be more specific. The great news, Terry, is that if it's been something that's plagued you, you didn't mention whether or not it's been recurrent or it's been ongoing, but orthotics are our biggest weapon to redistribute weight properly away from these problematic areas under the ball of the foot. Imagine somebody with high arches. They are going to be on the ball of the foot constantly, whatever they're doing, whatever the sport is, and they could be more susceptible. You could have the wearing away of the fat pad, which is becoming more and more common, starting around your age, depending on how active you are, where the padding gets thinned out. So see a podiatrist besides the physical therapist and look at what the best shoe for you is and look seriously at orthotics. Even pick up something at a Dr. Scholl's or something at Walgreens that you get in initially and then see podiatry. Steve says, I'd like you to talk a little bit about a topic on from your book where you talk about two essential exercises, regardless of the age of the boy or girl, regardless of the sport, and hashtag a sports parent. You're right, Steve. I talk about rubber band strengthening exercises for your feet and ankles that my great friend and mentor, Bob Guida, virtually invented in the late 70s. Strengthening the feet and ankles and rubber bands, is whether you're the best athlete in the world or a grandma or an 11-year-old, you can use rubber bands very, very safely. And the other exercise we talk a lot about is balance. We talk about what Bob and I coined instability training. Create instability. Stand on tilt boards. I have great pictures of some of the Super Bowl Bears balancing on the mini tram. Guida loved the mini tram. John McEnroe balancing on the mini tram. Creating imbalance, challenging all balance systems, all the small regulators of the system. If we put all sorts of sensors on someone's body, on their head, their neck, their shoulders, their spine, their hips, everywhere, and we have them stand on an unstable surface, every muscle they own will light up. So the two exercises, whether your kid is a high-performance athlete or whether it's yourself and you want to try to stay out of trouble, then you want to include, and not the only two exercises, if you want to have big biceps or see how much you can bench press, I'm not going to argue with you. But you want to include balance work, and you want to include, Bob Guida used to have an oscillating balance beam that athletes would walk on to, again, challenge their stability. And now it's routine stuff in physical therapy groups. So two great exercise concepts. Denise says in the book Prodigy Sports, talk about specialization. My 11-year-old is a ballet dancer. She dances 4 or 5 days a week. She's just going to start in another year or two a point. That's smart, Denise. Don't let them put your young daughter on point before we've had more skeletal maturity. in that foot, or at least pay attention to the aggressiveness of that if your daughter's a serious dancer, because sometimes we see these compromises all over the place. Again, specialization. We want to make sure that your daughter is strengthening the opposites, that she's strengthening the breaks, all the muscles that help you go through these incredible, some of the greatest athletes I've ever seen are dancers. And ballet, again, is a art form on top of it. So you want to pay big attention to proper tutelage, not only from the coaching and the dance instructors, but from physical therapists who are familiar with the sport, who could really show your daughter the best ways to stay out of trouble. And that includes those two exercises in the book, whether she's standing on tilt boards in between commercials, watching television, the BOSU. Go to Instagram and check out the Sand Dune Stepper, which is a simulation of exercising. Think of walking on the sand, how that works your feet. So you really, really want to work all of these exercises to strengthen stability and balance. Bob says, my 12-year-old daughter is a figure skater. She was diagnosed with Hagelin's, the bumps on the back of the heels. They bother her once in a while. Bob, the problem we see in a lot of skaters, when you lock that foot in the boot, it tends to accentuate whatever the motion is when you raise the center of gravity. Make sure your bootmaker punches out the back of the skate. It's never a problem to do that. It almost always helps. And make sure your daughter sees podiatry. I've been putting orthotics in figure skaters, figure skates for 40 years, give or take a few weeks, and that's one of the most common problems. I maybe once or twice in a million years, there was something so aggressive, it was a surgical concern to smooth down that bone. Other than that, if you can stop the motion, sometimes you might have to pad around it. Orthotics are magic. And by the way, besides orthotics being very, very helpful in calming down and trying to prevent that area from getting more and more inflamed, your daughter will be a better skater. Done properly, orthotics are a huge step up for figure skating. And again, I'll brag about on my poster boy, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, figure skating gold medalist, grew up here in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. 14 years later, he was the best in the world. And it's something that was very, very exciting. He's got a great quote at the beginning of the book where he talks about his mom and what she meant to him becoming a champion. See if we have time for Bill. He's a 40-year-old jogger. Is less better with running shoes? Oh, it's quite a topic, Bill. I have a great article on that at sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to newspaper articles, you read about that. If you've never had trouble with your feet and legs, you want to include some lighter running shoes, less aggressive padding, you can take a look at that. But if you've got a history of problems, I wouldn't do it. Sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. the last segment again. We were able to add another one in of the Sports Doctors in. So I'm going to be able to answer a few more emails. By the way, if you want to email me with a question, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Again, everybody, you can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, and you can go back and check out radio shows from, gosh, 8-10 years ago. We have the guests and the topics of all of those shows. So when you see something of interest, and again, there's an endless array of topics, whether it's sports medicine, whether it is injury prevention, whether it is nutrition, whether we're talking youth sports, or whether we're talking about childhood obesity, et cetera, endless array of topics. You could listen to whatever you would like, and you can participate on Twitter. I get a lot of guests on Twitter, authors, scientists, doctors, inventors, over the past couple of years that we've been active with Twitter. And not only do we publish who's coming on the radio, been on Twitter, we also have an endless array of topics that talk about all aspects, again, of sports medicine, of fitness, health, and wellness. So it's a valuable tool. We have over 30,000 followers at SportDoc, D-O-C, radio. And again, PewDiePie that we were, Sharky Zartman, my co-author, the Hall of Fame volleyball player, who, by the way, is the host of a great show, Pep Talk, on Healthy Life Radio. I spent 4 years on Healthy Life Radio. They're a great station. They have great guests. Sharky's one of them. And we not only put a megaphone when we were talking to parents on the front cover, but we did hashtag, Hey Sports Parents, and that allowed us to have an interactive array of Twitter stuff at that particular hashtag. So you could check that out at any time. And again, we've got some great guests coming up, chiropractic physicians, orthopedic surgeons. Again, we pay a lot of attention, as you know, on the Sports Doctor, to the mind-body connection. So we have sports psychology. We have psychiatry. We just had psychotherapy. The mental game is such a big part of everything in health and wellness. And we will continue to pay attention as well to one of my pet peeves, which is, will we ever get rid of the TV advertising prescription drugs in the United States of America? We're only one of two countries, New Zealand's the other, that allows that. And this just breeds 80% of the pain medicine by prescription worldwide is here in the United States, where we have about 15% of the world's population. And now it's theme songs, you know? They have theme songs, catchy tunes with advertising, with drugs. It's very, very, very effective. And again, this is one of the things that we want to continue to pay attention to, as I will continue to pay attention with childhood obesity and obesity in general. Again, we've been talking about it for, oh, I don't know, 20 years. I have to have my old colleague, the creator of Pull Your Own Weight, PullYourOwnWeight.org. If you ever want to see the answer to childhood obesity, the fact that if a young boy or girl, even a first grader, can develop the capability and the strength to do one unassisted pull-up, a chin pull-up, even if it takes her or him 6 months to create that capability by gradually building up to it, once they can do it, they just can't be obese. And it's something Rick Osborne's trying to guide into the mainstream of the schools for years. So we're going to continue to pay attention to that. Again, with the underlying fact, everybody, that if we don't solve the obesity crisis, and it's diabetes, it's high blood pressure, it's heart-related concerns, it will break us financially. We just can't take care of all these people. We need to pay attention to prevention. We need to pay attention to the new science and the new medicine. Stay active and eat smarter. So I have a few more emails we could jump around on. Okay, here again, Jane, I'm not really soliciting questions about the book, but it's amazing how we get them. Jane said, how'd you get together this impressive group of experts that have contributed? And I'm glad you brought that up, Jane. Whether it's Rob Andrews with the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Texas, whether it's Ian Goldberg and his app and web presence, iSport 360, whether it's Katie Davis and her sports dietitian, sports nutrition information, whether it is adult and child psychiatrist Dr. Denise McDermott talking about the tremendous value of exercise on mind health of kids, and other experts who chime in on all aspects of parenting the child athlete. And again, even though I wanted to include, and I do, whether your son or daughter is the best athlete in the country, or whether they're just participating, Sharkey's whole first section of the book, which is called Youth Sports Parenting 101, she talks about fun. She talks about participation. She talks about interaction with coaches, all of the important aspects of staying out of trouble. And again, the second part of the book is The Sports Doctor's In. That's yours truly, talking about what is the best shoe for your son or daughter? What are we going to do about tackle football and concussions? And what are some of the things to pay big attention to in physical training? And what about the whole mental side of things? So lots of great experts. And I would also mention, Jane, the last section of the book is called Parents' Perspectives. And I have a half a dozen parents, and most of the experts and parents have either been parents of young athletes who have been patients of mine, or there have been radio guests. But they talk about all the challenges and the highs and lows in many instances of parenting the child athlete. But the subtitle of the book, which Sharkey made sure we included, and I couldn't agree with her more, is An Essential Guide for Any Parent with a Child in Sports. So by no means is hashtag Hey Sports Parents for that superstar only. A few emails. Again, Jerry, if we had it before, is less better. What about minimalist running shoes? You know, Jerry, it's the new hula hoop. And as a routine situation, we've seen more foot problems with minimalist shoes than we did before. So I would be careful. If you haven't had a history of problems, if you've been running for a couple of years, you don't have any injuries, you want to try lighter shoes, more into the minimalist side, let alone barefoot running, which otherwise I would pay attention to gradual. For all those questions regarding skating and orthotics, big step up. Go to sportsdoctorradio.com. You'll read lots of stuff about it. If you go to newspaper articles from 2010, you'll read about orthotics, podiatry, and the Olympics, a story with Evan Lysacek. It's a great story. So I think I'm out of segments now. Ha! So we'll see you next week, another edition of The Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated.
check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.